Tarot d'Amour, Nighttime Tarot for Love, with the fabulous Cooch Daniels. Cooch is running about 5 minutes late, and I'm your guest co-host for tonight, Dax Carlisle. And this is the show for the lovelorn, the romantically challenged, and those who just need a little advice. So call in for a mini reading live on air. We would love to chat with you. 714-816-4628. That's 714-816-4628. As soon as you get through, remember to press the number 1 on your dial pad so that we know that you want to be live on air. That'll put you into the queue, and we take the calls in the order that they come in. You can also join us in the chat room at psychetalk.net/live. psychetalk.net/live. You can even ask for a mini reading right there. Oh, I see a bunch of people jumping in. Oh, there's Charlotte, one of our hosts from Wednesday. Hello, Charlotte. Hi, everybody in the chat room. They give you these cute little names if you don't put in your actual name, like, intelligent something, kind habit, cautious. No, it's cutting off the name, so I can't see what they are. But it's really cute. PsychicTalk.net/live, and I see a bunch of people jumping on the phone lines right now. 714-816-4628. Remember to press 1 when you get through, and if you're Skyping in, open up the dial pad on the Skype app and press 1. That way we know you want to be live on air. And also, Cooch asked Janet Boyer to be on the show tonight. So this is going to be really exciting. I know Cooch wanted to discuss with Janet the lover's card. You know, what else, right, for Tarot d'Amour. So while we are waiting for Cooch to get here, she's actually at a retreat right now. I know her new deck just came out from Schiffer, Sacred Mysteries, the Chakra Oracle deck and book, actually. And she's been promoting that, and plus she was on a retreat this weekend, so she just messaged she'll be here in about 5 minutes. So meanwhile, I'm just going to bring Janet on, and we're going to chat just like old times. Right, Janet?
Hey, Dax. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, I don't really think – I don't think you need an introduction, but – for those that don't know and are totally clueless out there, you know, Janet Boyer is she's a tarot master. She's an author. She's a deck creator. You know, if I was to list everything out, it would take the rest of the show. So we'll just we'll just say that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and the interesting thing, before I forget, I wanted to mention, I always pull a card for each show that I'm going to co-host on. And I pulled the Six of Cups, you know, literally the nostalgia card. So perfect. So apropos for Janet being on the air with me. Yeah.
The blast
when
from
I started,
the past card.
I know. I mean, when I started on air, coming up on 10 years now, you were with me. And
yes.
It's like it's all coming full circle. What do you think?
Yes, it is. It's very interesting, especially considering how many times we threatened to leave Tarot.
That was going to be one of my questions because I don't know how long it's going to be till Cooch gets here, and maybe we can start. Well, maybe we'll just have to start talking about the lover's card without her. But that was going to be one of my questions. Was like, okay, the last time we talked was about the eighth time that. I'm done with tarot. I'm done.
Well, to some extent, I am. I'm just not feeling the mojo to ever write on tarot again. And even though I have tons of things that I could have written, like I have over 100 tarot lookalikes. I have the good card, bad card. I did some of those series on YouTube, and people keep asking me to do it, and I was under contract for a book called 365 Tarot, and I was going to include over 100 of those, but I asked my publisher to please cancel my contract for that, and they were very gracious. They published my Naked Tarot and did a wonderful job, and I asked them to cancel through nothing to do with them. They were wonderful. They were the best publishers I ever worked with. It's just I was so burned out and so tired of a lot of the dynamics I saw online, and I just needed to separate myself. And honestly, I haven't felt to write for months and months and months. And I just started writing in April for a fiction site. I don't think I told you this. It's called allinthepantheon.com. And it's a really cool collaborative effort of writers all over the world. And each of us chose a god, a goddess, or a muse, or even a monster from the Greek pantheon. And we voice that character. And the premise is, what do you do? What will happen when Zeus orders all the gods and creatures off of Mount Olympus, tells them to go down on the earth, get a job, to become more relevant to humanity and remind them why they need us? So when I saw that, I was like, oh, my God, that sounds so intriguing. And so I was debating on what got us to apply for, and there was a couple of them. And I'm such a lover of flowers that I settled on and asked to voice Goddess Chloris, who the Roman equivalent is Flora. And so I've been having a lot of fun with that, just getting into a fictional, you know, headspace and asking, what would the goddess of flowers and spring do if she was ordered to get a job? And, you know, how would she make herself relevant? What would happen? And it's really fascinating. So I encourage people to check that out at allinthepantheon.com. It's kind of like a take on All in the Family. And it's so interesting. It really is. And literally there are bloggers all over the world and really top-notch writing. It was very intimidating to me because I'm not really a fiction writer. And to see some of this writing, I was like, oh my gosh, just really, really good writers and bloggers. And I was like, holy cow, I'm going to have to step up my game, you know. And it's really fun, and it uses a different part of my brain. And so the fiction, writing that has actually stirred up a love of writing again for me, but not nonfiction, not trying to help the world or any of that. But mostly, you know, creatively, I'm doing jewelry design, you know, shayboyer.etsy.com. Noah's Sew and Beautiful Bags. You know, we sell our decks and books there. And I'm making jewelry. And I really love being in the present moment. It's very meditative for me to make jewelry, bracelets and earrings and necklaces. And I do themes. Like, I just made, like, a series of Scooby-Doo-inspired bracelets. I have T-Rex bracelets. But I also have sacred-type bracelets where, like, I have seven chakras. I'll have the individual chakras plus the charm on it. So I do fun things and sacred things, and then I'm going to start doing tarot blends. And, you know, again, there I am back into the tarot world, but it's in a different way because you probably remember my last book, Naked Tarot. I did tons of correspondences for each of the cards. Correspondences usually are not found in tarot books. And one of them is aromatherapy, something I've been into and studied for years. And so I ascribed a aromatherapy essential oil for every single card. And my family and I have been using essential oils, and Ron just made his own deodorant. In fact, it was so cool, cinnamon and orange. It looks just like regular deodorant. And we make oils and different things. And I thought, you know what, why don't I start doing tarot blends where I take a card, and I don't just use just the singular oil that I ascribe in the book, but I'm going to make blends according to the energy of the card. And so I already have the roller bottles. I have dozens of essential oils. I got the carry oils and everything, labels. I just need to sit down and start formulating, which is going to take some time because I'm going to put a lot of thought into the therapeutic properties that have been researched, you know, the metaphysical properties and what have you, and how that would apply to each card. And so that's exciting, you know, to start ascribing, you know, aromatherapy blends to certain tarot cards for people who want to, like, promote a certain energy, like if they want more magician energy or ace of coins with prosperity or two of cups for, you know, intimacy and things like that. So, you know, I am still in tarot, so to speak, but it's just in a different way now. It's in a very different way. It's more abstract and fun and healing and, you know, fun for me anyway.
That's the way to go. That's the way to go. And now that we're coming up on, well, the Tarot Guild's been around for 16 years, and this is going to be the 10th anniversary when we launched our very first radio show. It was
Oh my
January
gosh.
10th, 2010, and
I
you
can't
came
believe
on
it's been
right
10
after that.
years. Right.
Isn't
I
that
cannot
crazy?
believe it's been a decade. My God.
Just zipped by there. And then that's when we brought the Tarot Guild online, because originally the Tarot Guild was just in San Diego. We had about 400 members there in San Diego, but we decided to make it worldwide. There's this whole internet thing that's becoming popular now. Actually,
Right.
that's when Facebook came out and Twitter came out. And my accounts go back to there, 2009. And
Yeah,
we
me
decided to
too.
put a website. So we officially launched the website, and it was tarotguild.com. And it's gone through different versions. We had a tarotguild.org. I think the original site was a Ning platform for community, and a lot of people loved that. But we wanted to get onto Facebook and just have a static website, so we created tarotguild.org. And then that whole thing is 10 years old now, so it crashed, Janet. I mean, we lost it.
Oh, wow.
And I'm working on, obviously Psyche Talk Radio and a lot of other things, my hypnotherapy and so forth. But I want to eventually, rebuild the website, and a lot of folks want us to go back to a Ning type community site with forums and things like that. And so that's what we're looking at bringing out for the new year, just in time for the 10th anniversary, January 20th, 2020, which is my mom's birthday as well. And also, it's really interesting how this all happened just this week, because I was talking about the upcoming anniversary and about the website issue, with Mary Brown, and she's been around since the beginning too. And we were talking with James Rickliff, and then you contacted me. Should I do radio again? Should I do radio again? And I'm like, oh my God. Because it was you and James Rickliff, between the two of you, the first 500 members on the website, before we even launched it officially on January 20th, 2010, we had soft launch in the latter part of 2009. And, between you getting the word out and James getting the word out, we got 500 people on the website right away, and I just think
I
it's
remember
hilarious how.
that.
Yeah, I think it's
It
hilarious
was
how,
like me and James
some
were in this recruitment contest without
contest.
even realizing it.
Yeah, because we knew who brought who, and we kept the count going, and I don't remember who won, but it's just amazing how we, organically got back, all of us got back in contact with each other just this week,
Oh,
and
wow. All
it's like
independent of
we
one
got it.
another. None of us knew.
Yes. None of us
That
knew.
is so
And
cool.
so we need to do something big for the 10th anniversary. And one thing I want to do is I want to reboot, relaunch, resurrect the original first radio show that we ever had for the anniversary. And we're going to do that. January 20th, 2020, we're going to celebrate the anniversary on Tarot Today Radio, the very first show. And I'm even going to bring back the old theme music and everything. It's going to be hilarious. We're going to have a great, great time. I'm going to ask you on and invite Mary's going to be there. Maybe even James will pop in. I don't know, but at least the three of us will be there, and whoever else wants to join us, for the anniversary. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have a soft relaunch of the website before the end of the year, and then we'll have a hard launch on the same date. We'll officially launch January 20th, 2020. So mark that on your calendars, everybody.
Wow.
Exciting stuff.
I was just
Oh
going to
my
say,
God. This
exciting times, exciting times. It just keeps getting better and better. And last night I was just making jewelry and I was feeling such a high, and I'm thinking, why do people take drugs? Creativity is so fun. And then when we were talking about, you know, resurrecting Terror Today and everything, I was like, oh, this is just so great. It's so great to collaborate with like-minded people as well. You know, it's great to do solitary creativity, but see, my son is in the seventh house as well as a whole stellium. And so I'm like oriented to work with people, much to my hermit archetype, much to my chagrin. And, you know, it's just, I thrive when I collaborate with like-minded, competent others. It's just, I love it, you know, and it's, we all get together and we share, pool our knowledge and just have fun. And so much education comes out in the process. I mean, we have fun with it, but we're so seasoned with the cards that, you know, stuff ends up spilling out that helps people. And a lot of times people have contacted me and say, wow, you know, I learned so much from the show. And a lot of times it's not so much an educational show. You know, so we're just BSing about the cards and what have you, or even doing readings. But so much comes out because we have such a wealth of wisdom and knowledge amongst us with all those years, you know, of just either practicing or writing about it or creating decks or what have you, and it just comes out. And so it's a fun process, and I think it's fun for people to hear, too, because you and I are non-traditional, and we tend to come at the tarot, you know, in different ways. You're very numerologically oriented, and not a lot of tarot people are. And I'm very abstract and archetypal and symbolic, and pop culture-ish. And so,
love the,
you know,
pop
I try
culture.
To bring it to right, and I try to bring that to you know, to the ground level for everyone to understand. And so it's really great when you get a bunch of people together, and then, you know, they bring their worldview and their experience and their take, and it just multiplies, you know, and it's a great experience, mm-hmm. I think, for, you know, the host and the people who are listening.
Oh, and speaking of that, speaking of collaborating and chatting about cards and so forth, like we're about to talk about the Lover's card. Cooch finally made it. She's here, and
oh my
she's
gosh.
On the line. Yeah, let's bring her on here, the fabulous Cooch Daniels. Hi, Cooch.
Hi, Janet. Nice to hear you.
Oh, hi, Cooch. How you doing, sweetie?
I'm great. And Dax, sounds very exciting, everything you're planning.
Oh, yes. The anniversary is coming up, and we're so excited about it. But welcome to your own show, Cooch.
Oh, my gosh, here it is.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Oh, God bless you, Cooch. You're so adorable.
I don't know what adorable is, but are we really going to talk about the Lover's card? Is that what you said, Dax?
I thought that's what we were going to talk about the Lover's card.
Yeah,
was I mistaken?
Asked Janet. And...
Oh, I don't know. Maybe you tuned into something and I was, you know, it is Mercury retrograde.
Oh, I thought you said when you asked me to come on the show, you said, yeah, we're going to talk about the Lovers. I mean, I don't care what we talk about. It's your show. So you lead the way and Dax and I'll just be, you know, whatever you want, we'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we're
I
happy.
Like the idea of talking about the Lovers. Where should we start? I don't even know.
Well,
Lovers.
Personally, I don't think of the Lovers, and I'd like to hear your thoughts, as a soulmate card. I consider that the Two of Cups because it's intimacy, it's an exchange,
right.
It's compatibility, simpatico. I tend to see Lovers as more like an arranged marriage or entering a contract or having to decide even within a marriage, you know, you're going to follow the in-laws or you're going to, you know, follow the woman, you know, or choosing between two lovers or even a contract or a commitment. So I see Lovers as a more of a formal agreement. It's kind of like the click here to pay now. When you're at a website and you got a shitload of stuff in your cart and you're wondering, should I really like be putting this on credit? Not that I know anything about any of this.
Have your son in the seventh house, I would think that you'd know a lot about that because the seventh house on the zodiac is the house of marriage and commitment. And
right.
It sounds like what you're describing is the seventh house.
Yeah, it is. I really feel that the Lovers in the seventh house are, practically identical. Well, I'm like a quadruple Scorpio. I mean, I have a whole stellium that spans the seventh and eighth house.
In the
and
Scorpio?
So,
In Scorpio.
Yeah.
So how many planets do you have in Scorpio?
I'd have to look at my chart. Oh, I have a whole stellium. I have, let me go through the zodiac. I have Mars is in Libra, but that is in, I can't remember. I have like four planets, including my sun. So I have Venus, Mercury, the sun, and Jupiter.
Well,
yeah.
No wonder you
so
have
think,
a commitment to the esoteric arts.
Yeah,
because
yeah, I'm
the
very
seventh,
commitment-oriented.
For people who don't know, the seventh house in on the zodiac is the house of love, marriage, and soul commitments. And if you have your, did you say you had Venus in there?
Yes, Venus is in Scorpio too, but I'm not real sure if it's in the seventh or eighth house. I have a whole stellium that goes from the seventh house to the eighth house. So I think my sun is in the seventh Scorpio, and something else is in, I think, seventh house Scorpio, and then the rest are in eighth house Scorpio.
Well, that's pretty exciting because wherever the sun sits is where you illuminate the most light, because the sun brings light. It brings the dawn, and the sun is what enables life on this planet. So wherever the sun sits on anyone's chart is kind of like the life force, and a lot of light and positive energy goes into that house. So your seventh house has to be, or your sun is in Scorpio.
Yes.
So, and it's in the seventh house. So you're all about commitment to the people you love, and Scorpio is a very intuitive psychic sign. So you're a natural psychic. You were born to be a psychic, Janet.
Oh, I know. When I was 3 years old, I knew things about people, and I'd say it, and people would be looking like, what the heck? I'd be in church standing up testifying, you know, when I was like five. It's just crazy stuff. I would know things and say things, and But then my moon is in the 11th house, you know, so there's that interesting juxtaposition because, you know, there's a detachment, you know, from humanity in a way, and yet there's a commitment there. So, you know, it's a weird interplay. I'm very committed in my relationships. Like my first husband, you know, we got married when I was like 18 or 19. We were married 7 years until he died. I was single for a year, less than a year, met Ron. We'll be celebrating our 22nd anniversary here in a week or so. And so, and he's a Scorpio too, by the way. But his son is down in the fourth house, so he's very homebody. I'm very, you know, committed with my relationships. Like, if there's no I do, you know, I'm all in when it comes to relationships, you know.
Well, it sounds like you've got a very potent chart. The moon, what sign is your moon in?
It's in Aquarius. My moon's in Aquarius in the 12th house, actually. And that's real tricky because my Chiron, my wounded healer, is right near it, except it's right there near the ascendant. I've got the same placement as, like, Aleister Crowley's Chiron. You know, it's in Aries, but it's in the 12th house. So, you know, there's all that, you know, identity woundedness and bullshit. And that, you know, my ascendant is Aries. But my moon is in, my moon is in Aquarius. I think it's the 12th house, though. I think it spans down to the 12th. So, yeah. And my midheaven is Capricorn, but I don't have a whole lot of earth. I've got mostly water and some fire and air. So, yeah.
Well, if you turn your Scorpio is the card of death, right?
Yeah.
So death is transformation, rebirth, going through changes. And since I've known you, you definitely go through a lot of rebirth and changes.
Absolutely. Yeah, my birth cards in tarot are supposedly chariot and tower. And so, yeah, you go forward, get a whole shitload done, boom, it all explodes, then you rebuild. But even though, you know, the death card's not one of my supposed birth cards, oh, yeah, I got major Phoenix energy, major. I mean, I'm all about, you know, rebirth, coming back stronger the next time. You know, it's like the bionic woman, you know. We will rebuild her. We have the technology, stronger, faster. But, oh, yeah, the Phoenix archetype is very strong in my life, very strong. What's your sun sign, Cooch?
Well, I'm a Libra, but I'm on the cusp of Scorpio.
Ah.
And so I have Scorpio energy kissing my sun, because I go back and forth between being Libra and Scorpio, depending on where the moon is, I guess.
That's interesting, because my son's a Libra. He actually was 10 days late. So technically, he would have been a Virgo, but then he goes sliding in on September 26th, and so he's got Virgo tendencies, but he is a Libra. And so it's interesting seeing the Libra and Scorpio dynamics. But now we got this rhythm going on, and so it's really beautiful. I love Libras.
Hey, Dax, and you're the Gemini.
That's right.
You see, also, it's like we've got air, and water.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know very, very little about astrology. In fact, I just generated my chart here to see what it would say. So it says my rising sign is 19 degrees Virgo.
Ah, there's your meticulousness. There you go.
Yeah.
And
of course,
where's your moon
sun
at?
Sun in Gemini. Moon is 22 degrees Virgo.
Oh, wow.
So that's the Hermit card.
Huh. That's interesting. The only thing I have in Virgo is my Pluto, but that was a whole – that's one of the
things in Virgo.
Huh.
Mercury in Gemini.
Where's your midheaven, your MC at the top of the chart? Medium coli, MC? Does it tell you?
Oh, God. No.
Well, what
It'll
I think is interesting is we said we were going to talk about the lovers in Gemini in the BOTA system is the lovers. So,
right.
Dax,
your
sun card is the lovers.
My birth pair is the lovers and the devil.
Do you
find
that
makes
true
a lot
for
of
you?
Sense.
Really? How so? I want to hear about it.
That it makes a lot of sense, or that it's what.
Yeah, yeah. I want to hear how you guys see that for Dax, because that's interesting. You know, I'm not sure how it plays out, so I want to hear. I want to learn.
What would
Dax,
you say about that?
I'm
putting you on the spot. Sorry.
How much trouble can we get you into here talking about your love life being between the lovers and the devil?
And does Dax
well, I
even
never
want
quite
to
thought
have
of
a discussion
like
about this?
I know. Do you want this public discussion?
Yeah.
Let's see. The lovers is
well,
easy
you know,
because the lovers.
I wasn't. I don't apply the birth cards, you know, to my romance necessarily. However, if I do apply it, it makes perfect sense. You know, Geminis are that way in general. Okay, where you know we, it, you know. We're ruled by Mercury, you know, and so it's that quick-mindedness, and we get bored easy. You know, we want to change things up, you know, and so we're going to go the straight, sensuous, romantic side, like the lover's card, and then we're also going to have a little bit of the devil there because it's fun. It's interesting. You know, it's like, yeah, let's go down this path, you know, too. So
well, it's also interesting because the lovers and the devil, like the lovers numerologically is a 6, and then because the devil's 15, if you do numerology, it's 1 + 5 is a 6. So there comes your numerology. You've got like a double 6 going, and the devil, when I think of like how can that relate to Dax, it's because he's a little devilish at times with a very sweet, loving heart. But my sense is you're very, very attached to your partner in a way that, like, when I look at the lovers on the devil card and they've got their little chains around their necks as they're drooling while they're looking at each other, I mean, that's my fantasy about Dax. It's like he's really chained to his lover.
Yeah, Janet, Koosh has had this fantasy for quite a while now, you know, but...
I'm just
talking about Dax's sex life. Let's, you know, it's like.
I think it comes down to multitasking. You know, it's multitasking in bed and out.
Whoa.
Oh, dear Jesus. Dear God, it's getting hot in here. Help me, Lord.
Oh, gosh. Get on
your
knees, Janet, and pray.
Yeah, I'll get on my knees, all right. You know.
Are we going to make it through this show?
well, sometimes the devil, too, could be seeking. Well, here comes the Scorpio seeking the a higher symbolic interpretation. But also I see your work as wanting to free people from the devil, liberating them from self-limiting belief, self-limiting beliefs, self-limiting dogma, and what have you. So I kind of see it that way, like making a commitment to themselves to be free, be autonomous, to buck the system, to buck what they've been taught, or at least question it. And especially with your work with hypnotherapy and NLP and what have you. So I kind of see it, too, as a more symbolic way of wanting to free people from that or teach them how their way. And maybe, too, it can be addressing any struggles of with addiction that you might have, you know, any types of, you know.
Like hunger for passion.
It may not
be big deal
addictions, but.
You know, regardless if I'm working with tarot or working with NLP and hypnosis, it's all about forms of addiction, you know. So if I'm helping people quit smoking, you know, they're addicted to the smoking,
true.
You know, and even things that you don't even think in that light actually are, because like someone with PTSD, they're addicted to the memory, which they've never got it out of their short-term memory into long-term memory where it becomes just a memory. For them, it's like it's happening now. You know, and so a lot of this lines up a lot. Oh, by the way, what does it mean that the little squiggly lines in the middle of the chart form a pentacle? Am I in trouble here? Anyway.
Well, I don't know about that, but
geez,
but the devil is connected with Saturn, and Saturn is the teacher, and the, you know, like the heavy hand in like trying to like move toward from addictions or bust through karmic patterns. And if you look at what Dax is doing in his work, he's helping people with all those kind of things. And the Capricorn energy that Saturn is connected with, which is very...
It's like a taskmaster.
They're a little stubborn. Capricorns are a little stubborn and very... They're very grounded and more logical by nature, especially around material reality or laws and rules. And so when I'm hearing Dax, it sounds like, you know, Dax, you might be really good at... How could you run a radio show if you didn't have that?
Mm-hmm.
So on that... And those associations, the devil is, you know, a positive force. And if you look at the ancient associations with the devil, it was really Pan and the god of love for music and dance and wine and song. So
there's a
lot
like
of
Dionysius.
Positive things with this card if we don't look at it as like the Christian association with the devil.
Oh, yeah, it was more of a Dionysian Bacchus energy, which is, you know, let's get drunk and have an orgy, basically.
Now, doesn't that sound... Dax, what do you think? Does that sound like you?
I have no idea, Cooch. Thank you very much. I only know the business part of
it. I'll leave it to the imagination. I'll leave it to the imagination.
You know, but
well, this is
Saturn,
a nighttime show, Dax. All the little
true.
Kids are in bed.
That's true. It's after 1 a.m. You know, Saturn is such a pain in the ass, though. I, of all things in my chart, except for my south node, my Saturn in Taurus, you know, is just a pain in the ass, the second house, because it's like, you know, I got to work for everything financially. You know, there's never any, like, big lottery, well, not that we play anyway, but there's never, like, big, some people just, you know, wave a wand and make a shitload of money.
Gotta play to win.
Yeah, but when you have Saturn in Taurus, there's no way. You know, it's basically you have to work for everything and then, you know, put in the time. But maybe, though, after 50, I heard that things change a bit after 50. So we'll see. We'll see if that plays out with my chart.
So my second Saturn return.
Yeah, that's
Saturn
what I heard.
Pisces.
Things pick up. All the things that you've sown finally will, you know, let's hope. Speaking of Saturn return, you know what hit me? And, Cooch, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this since you're more well-versed in astrology than I am. We were discussing last night, we were listening to 60s music, you know, all of us, we were talking about stuff. You know, the 27 Club, like all those musicians that died at the age of 27, Kurt Cobain, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Amy Winehouse, you know, all those people that either committed suicide a lot of times or they died, you know, unfortunately, of a drug addiction or what have you. Wouldn't 27 be around the time of the first Saturn return, around 25,
right,
between the ages of 25 and 27?
Yeah. No, it's between 27 and 29.
Really?
So
there is a correlation. Because I was saying that last night. I said, I wonder if there's a correlation between the Saturn return, and they just felt that crunch, and then boom.
Hmm.
Do you think that's true?
Well, Saturn really takes you to places where you really look behind what you don't want to look at normally. And that's why Saturn returns are such a pain in the butt, because we go through our first 27 years kind of la la la. We're not going to deal with that stuff. We're not going to look at that stuff, whatever that stuff might be. That's, you know, deeper than we usually want to go. So when the Saturn return comes, it goes, it's time. You got to look at this stuff, and I'm going to take you deeper than you really want to go, maybe. But we're going to go there anyway, and it's radical, unless you have really, really good karma and you're on like a sage path or a spiritual path and, you know, you're almost awakened or moving towards enlightenment. It's a real pain in the butt because you have to confront things that you just don't really want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings about the ultimate change, which happens to so many people before they hit 30. It's like when you're hitting 30 and people go, oh, my God, I'm almost 30, or I'm going to be 30. And, you know, it kind of perceptions shift so much right as you're moving from 29 to 30. It's kind of like because Saturn is a wake-up call. Get more real. But it doesn't come easy for most people.
By the way, before I forget, Janet, I wanted to agree with you on the lover's card, how you described your thoughts on it, you know, because when I look at the Waite Smith version, I mean, just look at it. The two individuals. I mean, look at the distance between them, and they're facing us. Whereas in the Two of Cups, like you mentioned, they're facing each other. They're moving towards each other, or at least the fellow is anyway. You know, and so I love that. Analogy, or I for lack of a better word, of an arranged marriage. You know, I never thought of that particular term, but I'm like, that makes so much sense. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a commitment, but it's not one out of emotional feel-good stuff. A lot of times, you know, if people are entering marriage for financial reasons or security or something, the lovers will come up. I mean, it's an excellent card, in my opinion, to herald marriage, but not necessarily emotional fulfillment and soulmateness, which you would see, I feel, with the Two of Cups. You know,
unless those cards appear as well.
Right, or Four of Wands and Hierophant, you know, you've got the marriage right there, you know, and lovers. But, yeah, for in terms of, like, real intimacy, you're looking at more like, Two of Cups, Ace of Cups, maybe even the Six of Cups to an extent, the fondness and the sweetness and, you know, relationships coming in different flavors. But and if you look in the Tarot de Marseille tradition of the lovers, it's a guy with two women. And some have theorized, okay, is this his mother and his betrothed or wife? And a lot of times you have that kind of dynamic where, a couple gets married, and wouldn't you know, there's the mother-in-law horning in, and then sometimes you get the mama's boy, and then he's put on the spot. Okay, do I go with mama or do I go with what my wife says? And, that's probably why the Bible admonishes, when you get married, cleave to your wife, meaning, you know, you leave your mother and father and you cleave, because anytime you have that dual loyalty of your past and your upbringing and your childhood, and then you're trying to enter a new mature commitment with a marriage, it just doesn't mix. You know, you have to make a decision, one or the other. And so in my book, Naked Tarot, I actually put the song Two Princes, it talks about like this woman who has these two guy suitors. But, you know, it could play that dynamic, too, where you're debating, you know, between two people, or there's two different loyalties pulling at you, and then you have to make a decision. You know, which tradition are you going to, follow? You can't have – now, see, lovers, I feel, is like an either-or, whereas the Temperance card is both. And so when the lovers comes, you know, you're at a crossroads sometimes, and you have to make an educated decision. You know, it's not like the fool where you just, okay, enter a commitment willy-nilly and you're naive and you don't know what the heck you're doing. You're on a bender, drunk as a skunk, and then, you know, you marry your high school best friend in Vegas. No, the lovers is a very considered decision a lot of times because it's about commitment. And signing on the dotted line or, you know, contracts. I see sometimes lovers come up for business a lot because it's about contracts and entering a partnership. Like Cooch said, the lovers has a lot of seventh house energy, like in astrology. And the seventh house is also about partnerships and contracts and, you know, entering
and making
those
decisions
kind of deals.
About them.
Yes, and making decisions about them as well. And it's basically, it's a do-or-die type of energy when the levers come up. It's a big deal. Anytime the majors come up, you know, it's a big life pattern that you're having to face. It's not just like an everyday thing, oh, well, you know, hit or miss. You have to confront and do something about it. Because if you don't, then the energy itself will do something. It's like either you act proactively or else that kind of energy, whatever comes up, is going to invade your space. And you may not like it by that time. So it's like better to act proactively and actually, you know, make a decision than to try to ride the fence, because the lovers is not a riding the fence type of energy. It's saying, okay, a commitment and then a decision, a click here is necessary. I put a ring on it, so to speak.
Well, my thing,
you know,
is major
really
cards are major events, and minor cards are not as major as major cards, but
usually,
I like your
right.
statement, putting a ring on it, because seventh house is marriage, and that's a very huge commitment. And Dax has been in a committed relationship for how long now, Dax?
Which
Six?
One?
The one
no,
that you're presently
the
in.
Current one. There's been so many, but no, the current one is six years.
6 years.
Mm-hmm. I
and
was
it's
just
the lover's with, card is a six.
I wanted to, and exactly, and I wanted to mention though, before you came on, Cooch, Jen and I were talking about, you know, some of these shows where we just get on and just ramble, but the audience ends up getting such great, rich information, and this is just a perfect example of that, wouldn't you say, Janet?
Yeah, I love to hear Cooch talk about astrology because she brings up things that, like, I never thought of, and it's like, oh, you know, I never realized, like,
yeah,
Saturn.
What you
I mean,
said
I always
about the
cards.
Yeah,
and then Saturn is you know, I've always seen it just as a taskmaster, and I mean, I know it's a lot more to that than that, but, you know, talking about, you know, facing and confronting things that you may not have, you know, up until that time, and that's why, you know, the Saturn return tends to be crunch time. I never really thought about that, and I've always thought of it.
Ultimately,
more like,
okay, Saturn is a reward giver, but you have to get through the really difficult stuff before you're given the reward, because
like
Saturn can bring you the highest good, but you have to climb the mountain before you can get the treasure.
Just like Capricorn, got to climb that damn mountain.
Yeah, just like Capricorn.
Yep.
Ruled by Saturn.
Yep. It's grunt work, you know. Capricorn is my midheaven, and
We're just opposite, Janet, because it's my nadir. It's
really
at the very bottom of my chart, so we have opposite charts as far as Capricorn.
That would mean your midheaven is what's that opposite Capricorn? Cancer.
Yeah.
Cancer. Okay. Wow.
I gotta send Cooch my chart.
so appropriate doing tarot, doing more when Cancer's your midheaven. All about love and home and family and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yeah, I do not like my Capricorn midheaven, you know. And
wrote the book on tarot love, Tarot d'Amour.
She did years ago. That was her, Tarot d'Amour.
So
there she was.
So it fit. It fit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Absolutely. So, Cooch, I just want to remind you, we got about 15 minutes left in the show. So we have a couple of people on the line, and when you're ready to take calls, you just let me know.
Well, is Janet going to pitch in, and are you? I mean, should we all kind of jump in a little?
Maybe.
I guess I could pull a card.
Perhaps.
We'll see what happens.
Okay, we'll see what happens. Well, since we only have 15 minutes, if somebody's been waiting a really long time, maybe we should ask them what's up.
Okay.
Right, right. Well, the first caller is 216. So, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling in from? Are you still awake?
Oh, yeah, I'm still. Yes, I'm still awake. This is Adez calling from Ohio.
From Ohio?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's like 1 o'clock or a quarter to 2 or something?
Yep.
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
So what's your question?
I guess whatever you pull, not in particular.
So maybe just pull a card and give a little message here.
What is your name?
Desmond.
Desmond? I pulled the card, the Ace of Swords, for you. So Ace of Swords is good for picking up the pieces of whatever is in front of you. It's kind of like sorting through the puzzle pieces and getting a clearer picture and moving forward with a really strong sense of greater understanding of what you need to do to be successful and get where you want to go. It's like using the sword of discrimination to cut through things that are binding you to have more freedom and a stronger sense of direction and moving forward with a really strong thrust and thriving. It's a card of thriving and really taking off.
Okay.
That's my one card.
Awesome. Awesome.
And the Ace of Swords is also to make up your mind and actually be clear about what you want. Like, you know, you called in and said, oh,
yeah,
whatever. No. The universe is saying, oh, really? No. It's time for you to actually determine what is it that you really want. You need to determine what you want out of life and logically think about that and think, okay, what do I want? What do I need? And how do I cut through the bullshit to get it? So that too.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Good one.
So take that sword, Desmond, and figure out what you want. Be clear about it, and then go after it.
Yeah, and I'm getting be playful with it. You got to be playful and flexible in this time right now. You're in the midst of or coming up on imminent change, and it's all about balance. And you're going to be juggling different things. But it's all good, especially if you remember to think fun, remember to think, be playful with this, and don't be rigid. Try to be flexible, the reed in the wind, the bending reed, and just go with it. That's what I'm getting.
Fine.
So I hope that helps you out, Des.
It helped me navigate through these waters, so I was appreciative.
Sure thing.
Great.
Just
awesome.
Be single-minded. Try not to be scattershot. Think laser instead of buckshot, Try to narrow down your options, narrow down what you want, get clear, and then just pursue one or two threads. Don't get so tangled up to where you get confused or you get swayed. Try to be very single-minded in what it is that you need and want. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, good luck.
All righty. And thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Awesome. I've been noticing a trend with this Janet and Cooch in a lot of the calls, people calling in. I'm constantly getting the message to give them this message that they need to clarify. They need to, not have so many irons in the fire. They need to focus
mm-hmm.
on one thing. Just like this lack of focus going on right now.
Yeah, and I can understand that. There's so much shit going on in the world. And if
oh,
people
good God.
Are like watching the news or getting their daily dose of crap on social media or news, it's like I think it numbs people. And they end up forgetting who they are, and they forget what they want, and they even forget their values maybe, and it's, they're basically being led by the nose from outside forces, and they don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't even hear their own voice, let alone know what it is. And so, when the Ace of Swords comes up too, I see that as, you really got, hey, think about a sharp chef's knife when you're cooking. you got to know what the hell you're doing. That's like, you know, Ron and Noah, they hide the big chef knife from me. And not because I'm a crazed killer, but because I have bad tendonitis and I have numbness in my hands and I got to watch. And so they put it all up on the top shelf and I'm like, can I have the knife, please? You know, it's like being a kid. But you got to be careful with a big sharp knife. And a lot of people just are not wielding that power for themselves. You know, they're just saying, oh, well, what's going to happen in the world's going to happen. And they're not taking charge of their own thoughts.
Mm.
Their own energy, their own intentions. I mean, how many people really get up and intend their day? Instead, they let other people intend their day by whether it's the news or a phone conversation, what have you, instead of like really getting quiet and figuring out, okay, what do I want to accomplish today? What do I want to manifest? You know, what do I want to focus on before I meet the world? And so, you know, without that Ace of Swords, man, you're looking at a bank of cloud, you know, clouds, a fog bank. You know, it's foggy, it's tiring, and it's numbing. And so, you know, you can't blame people saying, whatever, just draw a general card for me, because, you know, they're just so tired, and they're just so, like, I don't even know what to focus on anymore. And sometimes to do that, you have to, you know, I see the Ace of Swords and all the swords as separation. There's types of separation involved with the Two of Swords, and all of the swords, actually. And so when you have the Ace of Swords, you know, you have to separate this and that. You have to say, okay, I am here as a separate entity, and this is what I want. That's why a lot of times, you know, Ace of Swords is translated as might or power, because, you know, you have to almost take the power in your own hands of the singularity, singleness of thought, and who you are and what you want and, you know, what you want to experience in life. Because if you don't choose that, somebody else will.
The swords, for people that don't know Tarot, swords corresponds with the element air, and the element air is linked with the intellect, the mind, and ideas. So when someone takes a sword, it's like taking ideas, and how many swords, it's like how many ideas. Or if you look at the element air, and the sword corresponds with air, it can also connect with your lungs, which sits right over your heart, and it's like using wisdom with your heart energy. So the swords can be like thrusting forward with ideas and discriminating and being real clear with what your focus is. So there's a lot of power with the swords, especially the Ace of Swords, which can represent new beginnings with what seeds you're planting mentally.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, before we go on to another call, just real quickly, I want to let everybody know that they can go to psychictalk.net/upcoming to see all the shows that are coming up. Because it's summer, some of the shows are on hiatus till fall. Other shows are on a every other week schedule. So to see what's coming up, go over to psychictalk.net/upcoming. I did want to mention a couple of shows. Tomorrow on Monday, it's Wisdom of Your Soul with Janice Fuchs, licensed clinical social worker, and she's going to be talking about transform your relationship with your inner soul guidance. And I'm going to guest co-host with Rose Fullhorst on the Power of Three show on Tuesday, open lines, mediumship, and more. So if you want to connect with the other side, Tuesday is the show for you. Charlotte Kornberg and I are going to do an open line show on Wednesday. And let's see, Thursday and Friday is on hiatus right now. We'll be back the following Friday. But I didn't want to forget to mention Saturday, August 3rd, because that's Mary Brown's show, Mystical Musings, that she does once a month. And she's going to be talking about how does the tarot work. And her special guest is going to be James Rickliff, tarot master and author and decorator. And James is really cool. You're going to love it if you're not familiar, and even if you are, you're going to love to tune in. So tune in Saturday, August 3rd. You know, we were just talking about James Janet in the beginning of the show, and here he's going to be the guest with Mary on Saturday, so that's pretty exciting.
You've awesome. Got some great shows lined up, Dax.
Yep, some good stuff. Just go over to psychictalk.net/upcoming to check everything out. And I'll be adding more shows to that upcoming shows this week. Let's see. I think we have another caller here, and then we're almost at the end of the show. Let's see. Area code.
Time flies when you're having fun with good people.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Janet, it's
Absolutely.
Really been great getting to hear you instead of just read your words, but to actually hear you talk. And it's
right.
been a great show for me.
Aw,
yeah.
Well, thank you. That's awfully sweet of you. Do I sound different than you expected?
Yeah, actually. Because
did you?
I don't know. I expected you to have a different tone or something. You sound almost like a 16-year-old.
This is how I always sound. I've always been bubbly, cheerful, gregarious, open, but pointed. Yeah, I mean, if you listen to any of my radio shows,
10 years
YouTube,
ago, she sounded the same. 10 years ago, the anniversary is coming up.
Eternally youthful.
Exactly, I am. Mm. It's funny because I met somebody I knew from high school. Well, actually, I was friends with his sister. He was a year ahead of me. And he, when Susie regularly, he goes, "Oh my God, you're just as bubbly and enthusiastic as you were in high school." And I'm like, "Oh, well, yeah." And it's like I've always been this way. And it's funny because when people hear me or meet me, and if they know my written words first, they are really surprised because I think they expect a bitch or something. I have no idea why somebody would get that in their mind.
An old crone.
Yeah, well, no, I beg your pardon. No, Queen of Swords, thank you very much. But, yeah, it's funny because people, and I'm like, no, I'm really friendly and open and everything, but I just, you know, I'm a no bullshitter, though. You know, it's like Mary Poppins, you know, a spoonful of sugar helps medicine go down. But it's very great
right.
to finally talk to you, too, Cooch.
Yay.
Yay.
Okay, Dax, we got one more caller.
Yep, we're going to go to area code 973. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Jackie. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Where is he going?
So it's 2 o'clock in the morning for you, too.
Yeah, I'm busy working between two houses. So.
Oh, wow.
Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, the move. I want to move. And where I want to move is my mother's home, so I'm actually going through a lot of old memories. Some of them are stuck, some of them are painful, and some of them are kind of bittersweet. I just want to see if you could pull a card about the outcome in terms of me finally getting a chance to go in and actually live there and taking care of the property after a very long trial and tribulation.
Okay, I'm going to shuffle and draw a card. Shuffling.
I hear your cards.
Sound effects.
It's our snowland.
Oh, those are just sound effects.
It's our snowland deck, so it's a big deck.
Oh.
Okay, 2 of coins. Well, you know, we're in our deck, it's 2 material, but it's basically a juggling act. You know, in terms of your move, so many things are up in the air right now and unfixed in their energy that it's not very clear how those things are going to all fall out, you know, and you know, just certain things are just undone and undecided. Does that make sense? Up in the air? Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah, and so until those things become more solidified, see, sometimes things are up in the air because there's so many factors to consider and that are at play. You know, you have other people's decisions and their will. You have government laws, regulations. You have, the emotions and finances. There's just so many things sometimes that come to play in a decision or in something big like a move. And so basically the 2 of coins right now is just saying that it's just not certain yet. There's so many things that are still up in the air and need to be settled. But as soon as things start to settle, you're going to see a pattern, and you'll pretty much know how things are going to blow once, you know, certain things start falling into place. So it's probably a good idea to just stay flexible, stay open, try not to be too married to a certain outcome to where if a certain thing didn't happen, you'd be devastated or upset. So try to be, you know, open to whatever happens, flexible, but do what you can, whatever you can control in your domain. You know, try to get all your ducks in a row and, you know, your I's dotted and your T's crossed. But apart from that, you just have to understand that sometimes things are beyond your control, in the control of other people. And so just, you know, just try to worry. Well, try not to worry, period, but worry about whatever's in your control and just leave the rest to the universe. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it is up in the air.
Right. There's too many things at play right now to make a definitive trajectory. So, you know, just try to remain flexible, not too attached to the outcome. You know, try to focus on what is good and gratitude, and positive feelings always will help, you know, lead you to a better place, no matter what happens. So just, you know, focus on a gratitude practice, what you're thankful for. Look for the positive in situations. If anything's in your domain that you do have control of, that you can do, by all means do that. You know, don't wait for someone else to do it if you yourself have the ability and the power to do it. But everything outside of that, you know, you'll just have to, you know, trust that it will play out the way it needs to be and take comfort in that.
Okay.
See, and to go with that, I pulled the Temperance card, which is, in a way, it's also juggling. It's juggling opposites. But with the Temperance, you really don't want to be rehashing the memories and trying to live too much in the past. You got to try to bring your attention more to the present and look at what you're trying to create in the future. Because if you get too much focused on memories and the things that happened in the past,
really
that
trying,
can really
I'm moving past
you.
Harsh memories, to be honest with you. I see a lot of potential, and I'm also weighing the factors. So, you know, what happened in the past has happened. I know that other people are, you know, they're watching me. You know, it's a lot of envy and jealousy involved, but I'm moving past that. I don't want to wallow in regrets and sorrow anymore.
Good.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's a great place to be in. The very fact that you want that and that you're intending that is a really good sign, because that means you're aligning your thoughts and your energies to want to integrate your experience and heal from them and move on. That's a great place to be at.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for the call, Jackie. We got to get out of here. We're at the end of the show. In fact, it's
oh my
time
God,
to
somebody
pop
pouring
the
champagne.
Floor.
Is that bubbles like champagne?
Oh, my God. I'm so thirsty now. I want to get a bottle of booze, and I have none.
That's time for us to go off the air. And it's
a wrap.
It's time to pop the cork and pour some bubbly and just, you know,
settle
have a little
in.
Party off
air. Read our cards for ourselves.
Yeah.
There you go. It was
I'm
going
to
go
great to be with you guys. Thank you, Cooch, for inviting me.
Well, it's my pleasure. You wanted to come on. I'm like, well, sure, come on.
Yay.
It's just really nice to connect. So I'm glad you wanted to come on. And Dax, you know I love you, so yay.
Yay.
Yes, love Dax. Dax,
yay,
buddy.
To more champagne. More celebrations.
Amen.
Yep.
Woohoo.
Yeah. I'll get to talk to everybody on Tuesday with Rose, so I look forward to seeing you all on Tuesday. Remember, write the phone number down.
Well, thank you, everyone,
phone number
for listening.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everybody out there. Thank you so much.
Bye, Cooch. Bye, Dax.
Bye. Love to everybody.
Bye, Cooch. Bye, Dax.